Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. The deadline for registering to vote in Indiana is October 9th. That's also the week when voters can cast their ballots early at county clerk's offices for those who know who they're voting for and want to get that done. Managing elections at the local level is the job of the county clerks. And Connie Lawson, a former clerk from Hendricks County, west of Indianapolis, is now Secretary of State, Indiana's top election official. She's been to more than 50 counties to conduct training and says it looks like turnout this election year may be lower than 4 years ago.
Well, from the activity that the clerks have reported to me and that I've observed when I've been in each county clerk's office over the last few weeks, I would say yes, it will be less because the voter registration volume has been less so far. So they're seeing fewer people register to vote, and that's usually an indication of turnout. In the primary, we had 22% turnout, which was lower than 2008. So obviously, it's my hope with our voter outreach program, we can increase that voter turnout in November, at least from the primary.
When you see a 22% turnout in the primary, as we did back in May, is that discouraging? For somebody who's worked in this system to urging people to vote for so long?
It's not discouraging because I'll always be a promoter of people getting out to vote, but it is disappointing. But, you know, I think we also have to remember that there are several factors regarding our percentage, and part of it is, you know, voter list maintenance and the requirement to keep people on the rolls for two federal election cycles and until two mailings come back before a person can take them off. So a lot of things that go on regarding our voter list maintenance and determines the percentage of voter turnout are out of our control. And so I don't really think that the turnout is as low as what is reported at 22%, because we do have inactive folks on our rolls, but we're required to keep them there in case they decide to come back and vote in a federal election. Well, so this federal election cycle, folks in the clerk's office will be using this federal election cycle to clean some of those voters off the rolls.
Do we know why people don't vote?
Well, I don't think we have any clear data on that, but, you know, I would just like to assure folks that, you know, it does matter. Their vote does count. You know, our media blitz will be talking about the history in Indiana, where there was a farmer by the name of Henry Shoemaker who in DeKalb County in 1836 who was working in his farm field and at the last minute remembered that he had promised to go vote for his good friend Madison Marsh for state representative. And when he got to the polls at the last minute, cast his ballot just as the polls were closing, and Madison Marsh actually won by one vote. And the story goes on because Madison Marsh then was the deciding vote for the United States Senator. At that time, the Indiana General Assembly cast the vote for the United States Senators that represented Indiana. And Madison Marsh cast the deciding vote to elect Edward Hannigan into the United States Senate. And then Edward Hannigan was the deciding vote for the United States to go to war with Mexico. And as a result of the Mexican War, the United States got the territory of Texas, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, New Mexico, and parts of Colorado. So essentially, Henry Shoemaker, the farmer in DeKalb, Indiana, cast the deciding vote, and which determined the largest boundary increase for the United States since the Louisiana Purchase. So one person's vote does count.
In fact, there are a number of examples, right, where elections were determined by a relatively few number of votes.
That's correct. Just 2 years ago, we had a state rep race in Indiana, where I believe the winner won by 3 votes. So yes, everyone's vote, you know, does count. And, you know, turnout in individual counties determines on, obviously, whether or not there are contested races, whether or not, you know, there's a public referendum on the ballot. You know, there's still voter education. There's just a lot of things that determine, you know, people's interest in turning out to vote.
Folks who are going to be unable to be at the polls on Election Day can vote early, and they can get information about that at their local county clerk's office. There's a move some places to somehow make voting more convenient for people. What do you see happening in that regard in Indiana?
Several counties right now are considering going to vote centers, and which is a convenience for the voters and a cost savings for counties. So we have 7 vote centers, counties in Indiana right now, and several more considering going that way in their next election in 2014. We'll be doing some regional meetings next year just to allow counties to have a conversation about how vote centers might be beneficial to their counties. But we have 7 right now, and I can tell you that the reaction from both voters, poll workers, elected officials, and media has been very positive. And what vote centers does, it does make it more convenient for the voter in that they can go to any vote center location in their county to cast a vote on Election Day. And then there are also early voting days as well throughout the county.
Do we face a problem as local governments face tighter budgets all the time of having enough resources to do elections right?
Absolutely. I think every county government feels the strain on their budgets. And I use the example today. You can almost see the county council members, you know, picking up the cushions on their seat and trying to shake out the change and find the dollars that they need to run county government.
We're increasingly relying on electronic voting machines, and there's been some concern by people that software glitches or other things could influence elections. How confident are you that these electronic voting machines that we're using are foolproof and aren't going to cause us problems?
Well, the electronic voting machines go through a strenuous approval process, certification process here in Indiana. And there at Ball State, at the Bowen Center, we have the Voting System Technical Oversight Committee where any voting system that is used in Indiana must be approved. And, in fact, we know where every voting machine is located. We've got the serial numbers. We know which counties they're in, and we know which systems are being used in each county. So I have every confidence that those systems hold up to our Indiana election code as well as federal election code. And quite frankly, if you look at the 2000 election in Florida and you saw the folks holding up the punch cards and trying to find out if there was a hanging chad or not and determine how someone voted, I think our voting systems today are a lot more accurate.
That's Indiana Secretary of State Connie Lawson talking about preparations and voter registration for the November election. You can register online or check your registration via the statewide voter registration system at indianavoters.com.
I roamed and rambled and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me, a voice was a-sounding. This land was made for you and me.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Republicans and Democrats may be playing rough at the national level in this election year, but the picture on campus is somewhat different. At Ball State University, college Republicans and university Democrats are working together, can you say bipartisan, to register voters for the general election. The deadline for registering is October 9th. Students set up a big tent next to Schaefer Bell Tower the other day, and grad student Justin Fitzgerald was asking everybody who walked by whether they had signed up yet.
Well, today we're actually out here doing voter registration drive. We're calling it the Democracy Day here at Ball State on the University Green, and we'll be out here from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. registering as many students as possible.
Now, be honest, how interested in politics are students?
Students really range. You know, we have some students who are working on local campaigns and who are really engaged in this and active, and they want to get every single person registered and engaged like they are. And then we have other students who, you know, really, we have to work really hard to get them interested, and we're doing that. We've got some great things lined up this fall.
You're a graduate student, right? Do you remember what it was like when you were an undergrad, when you were a little bit younger? I mean, sometimes our attention's focused elsewhere. Is that fair to say?
That's fair. I was probably one of the rarer students. I was a political science minor, communications major, so it was on my mind probably more than other students. But yes, being a communications major, though, I understand that, you know, you need to find those unique, creative ways to get out, get students interested in this.
I should mention, Justin and I are standing next to the bell tower at the center of Ball State's campus. Across the street from us is a big tent, you might say, with I like the sound of that, the big tent in political terms.
Yes.
It's a big tent. I mean, you're not just registering Democrats, or you're not just on the side of one political party or another.
We are not. We are wearing shirts that have both a donkey and an elephant on it, and we are working together. It's great to see, actually, the students here on campus are working really well hand in hand. We've got Democratic students. We've got Republican students. We've got everything in the middle as well, all working together.
So it's not just Republican students or Democratic students are working to sign up their own folks. They've all joined forces.
That's correct. We've been planning a number of events for this fall all together. Even when one organization sponsors an event, the other organization supports it and lets people know that it's happening.
Justin, do we have any idea? Have you talked with folks from the parties about the significance of the student vote? Do students turn out to vote? Do they make a difference in these local or state or sixth district congressional elections here?
Absolutely. You know, I think that in 2008, we saw probably the largest impact that we've ever seen from the student side of things. And, you know, we hope to have just as many students come back out to the polls in 2012. We didn't, as any, you know, off election. We didn't see
off-year election. Yeah,
off-year election. We didn't see that in 2010, but we are hoping to get it as high as possible in 2012.
One of the things that people will say, people who don't vote say, well, my vote doesn't matter. I mean, they see millions of votes cast. What difference does it make if I vote?
Well, the nice thing about where we're at, we're here in the Midwest. You know, we've got Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania. We've got some states that really do matter, and we have states that can often swing one way or the other. And so I think more so here than other parts of the country, students can honestly say, you know, my vote really does matter.
How do you talk to the students about the issues in this political season and how they touch on the lives of the students here?
Well, right now we are focused on voter registration, which is massive. Up until October 9th is really for Indiana our deadline for registering voters. And after that point, we hope to be doing more and more about educating them on what they can vote on who they can vote, what all that represents. So that's our focus right now. We've got a number of debates coming up. We've got different events where they can educate themselves. So we're hoping that the students come out to that, trying to make it as enticing as possible.
Is there a calendar of events that will be happening on or around Ball State you could point people to, a website?
Absolutely, yes, there is a calendar. If anyone actually can go to bsu.edu and click on the current students link at the upper left-hand corner, and from there they'll see a link to everything that's going on related to civic engagement and voting this fall.
Candidates and others interested in the process will be here visiting, and folks from, you don't have to be a student to come out and see that.
Absolutely. Most, I would say pretty much all the events I can think of are open to the public as well, so anyone's welcome to come. We've got the Robert Gibbs and Liz Cheney debate on October 1st, which is probably our biggest event. We'd love to see as much participation from the community and from the student body as possible out at that. We've got a number of debates leading up to that and as well afterward. We'll also be doing a debate watch party for the presidential debate on October 16th. And then on election night, we'll be doing a fun party as well to watch the results come in. And it's not just let's sit in a room and watch the results, but we actually have breakout rooms, conservative breakout room, a liberal breakout room, a moderate breakout room, and then a general area where everybody can have fun, eat some pizza. In those breakout rooms, though, they'll have their own laptops and TVs to keep track of everything that's going on and kind of commiserate or celebrate, depending on who wins and who they were supporting.
That's Justin Fitzgerald, a Ball State University grad student helping register voters on campus the other day. He's one of the leaders of a registration drive that's supported by both Democratic and Republican students. Cooperation across the aisle, as it were, in contrast to some of the acrimony between the parties elsewhere.
So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, here on Indiana Public Radio.
Early voting for the general election begins October 8th, and the deadline for registering to vote is the next day. To vote early, folks typically have to complete an absentee ballot application in their county clerk's office and show a valid photo ID card issued by the state of Indiana or the federal government. Voters are given a ballot to complete, and then their ballot is sealed in an envelope and delivered to their precinct on election day. Sound complicated? Well, that's election law, and the state's chief election officer, Secretary of State Connie Lawson, has been talking to the county clerks across Indiana, the folks actually on the front lines, to make sure everybody's prepared for the November general election.
I've just spent the last few days this week, one in the southern region with the southern regional clerks, and then in the northern region just this morning, and the clerks are prepared for the election. And so is the Secretary of State's office. Obviously, our election division is always on board and ready to answer any questions. And the clerks call our office frequently if something comes up they have a question about.
How's this year going to be different from 4 years ago in terms of how the election has run or what we know about how smoothly it should go?
The difference, I think, will be what I'm hearing from county clerks is, number one, they're not as busy this election cycle, federal election cycle, as they were the last time for the last presidential election. And, you know, they haven't had as much voter registration volume come in. So we don't know. We expect for that to pick up. You know, the Secretary of State's office, our voter outreach media blitz, you know, we've had several press conferences recently about that voter registration deadline. So I think it's going to pick up. And then, you know, after Labor Day, the campaign, political action committees, unions, candidates, they all start really focusing on getting their constituencies out to register.
What are the main things you think people need to know that they might not know?
Well, they need to know their vote counts. And our media blitz tries to tell a story in a quick way about, you know, how a person's vote does count. Obviously, we remind them of the deadlines, the voter registration deadline, and we also remind them of the election day and on down the road, we will. Once that voter registration deadline passes, our blitz will be about election day and bringing your reminding folks to bring their photo ID.
You were in the General Assembly when the voter ID law was passed, and so you've thought about this. What were some of the competing interests from in your point of view?
Yes, I was in the General Assembly in 2005 when the photo ID bill passed and was co-author of that bill. And there were, obviously, there were folks who, you know, were adamantly against it and folks who were adamantly in favor of the bill. And I think we worked hard to include some constructive criticism in that bill. We made sure that folks who live in the nursing home didn't have to provide a photo ID when the polling location was at the nursing home. We made sure that the B&B had extra hours and that someone could get a free photo ID if they were indigent. We made several exceptions, I think, in our law and accommodations in our law that possibly other states whose laws have been questioned do not have.
this comes down in some sense to political points of view. On the one hand, you have the suspicions, I think, of some Republicans that the other side has been too lax in getting people to the polls who maybe didn't belong there. And then the suspicion on the Democratic side that their Republican opponents are trying to hold down their turnout. You're a Republican yourself. What do you say to assure people that you're just trying to make sure it's a fair election?
Well, that's exactly the case. That is what we want. We want people to have faith in our election results, and we want to make sure that we run elections with integrity. And the photo ID is one way to do that, and it's certainly not about obstructing anyone from voting. And the point that I made before is that, you know, our photo ID bill and law went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and there was not a case of voting instruction or obstruction that was proven in that case. And so that was one reason why the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Indiana's photo ID law.
There's almost been a joke over the years to vote early and often, but in fact, we're pretty sure there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud in Indiana, right? People voting in multiple locations, that would tend to show up under the current system, right?
Well, not on election day. I mean, we don't know on election day if one person voted in Hendricks County, for an example, and was also registered in Marion and went to the same place.
Do we have any indication that there's widespread voter fraud taking place that's influencing elections?
No, and, you know, recently in 2005, the same year that we passed the photo ID bill, we also made increased penalties on absentee ballot and absentee ballot application fraud. And so, sure, the county prosecutors, I think, since that time have realized, yeah, we've got some teeth in this law. And so there have been incidents, but I think that the county prosecutors have the ability now, if something specific happens in their county, to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Indiana Secretary of State Connie Lawson talking about preparations for the November general election. To check your voter registration and for other information, take a look at indianavoters.com or contact your local county clerk's office. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. Reminder that we also need your stories, your ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
It makes me really excited to see students realize that they have a voice, that we live in a country where they can have a voice. So many students just take it for granted and aren't truly appreciating it. And so being a part of the process to make that happen and to light up their eyes and get them to realize really where we live and how special that is pretty special to me.